Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And as you do, a question for all of you. You ready? How easy do you think it's going to be for those kids to obey that rule? Not easy. And how easy is it going to be for us to love them even when they don't? Not easy. In fact, I would say, how easy is it for us to obey Jesus Christ? Not easy, right? It's not easy. So imagine I'm holding the large wrench. We're going to work today on a big problem. The big problem of obedience, of just following Christ and following Christ's commandment to love even when it's difficult. Livy, those verses were perfect for today's message, because today's text is a continuation of last week's. I was going to title it The Great Grain of Wheat Truth Part 2, but rather, I titled it The Cross, Christ's and Yours. Our text for this morning is John 12, 27 to 33, and the title is The Cross, Christ's and Yours, and we're going to work on how do we follow Christ when it's difficult? How do we lay down our lives for the sake of others, even when that's hard to do? Well, the Spirit of God is going to help us with that this morning. John 12, beginning at verse 27, this is the Word of God. Jesus says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was about to die. What was the kind of death by which Jesus Christ was about to die? The cross. The cross. This whole passage, even the one we covered last week, is all about the cross. Not just Christ's, but yours also. And what I want you to see this morning is, number one, the pain of the cross. Number two, the purpose of the cross. And number three, kind of a double point here, the paradox and power of the cross. The pain, the purpose, and third, the paradox and power of the cross. Notice first, the pain of the cross in verse 27. And the truth is simply this: to bear the cross is painful. To lay down your life for others in order to do the will of God for the glory of God, that is not easy. Verse 27, Jesus says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Should I try to get out of it?" Obvious answer, absolutely not. Let's recall the context. The scene here is the Passover, and it's Christ's last one. This is Christ's last Passover before he's to be crucified on the cross. And just before this, some Greeks were headed up to the feast, and they came to Philip, one of Christ's disciples, and they said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answers that desire of the Greeks and the statement of his disciples with the most important lesson on discipleship. Jesus answers by explaining what it meant for him to be the Christ and what it means for you to be a Christian. And what it meant for him to be the Christ and what it means for you to be a Christian is the cross. It means dying to self for the sake of others. That's what it means. It begins all the way up in verse 23. This is a doxological text. Thank you for that little word there, Nate. Verse 23, Jesus answered them saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come for the Son of Man's glory to be put on full display." And not only the Son's glory, drop down to this verse, 27, that we're starting this morning. "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. The whole passage is how the Father and the Son will both be glorified through the cross. But it's not just about Christ's cross. It's about your cross. Right? Jesus said up in verse 24, truly, truly, or most assuredly, I say to you, unless this grain of wheat having fallen to the earth dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. What's he talking about? The cross. Jesus is the grain of wheat. He, having fallen or come to the earth, wants to bear much fruit in the form of disciples or followers. And to do that, he must die. And here's the lesson. You ready? Here it comes. For Jesus to be the Christ and bear fruit for the glory of God, he had to deny himself and take up the cross. And for you to be a Christian and bear fruit to the glory of God, you must do the same. Which is what Jesus says in verses 25 and 26. He who loves his soul in this life destroys it. But he who hates his soul in this world will keep it to life eternal. It's a paradox, right? If anyone would serve me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone would serve me, the Father will honor him. And we looked at those verses last time, but the truth is this. For Jesus to be the Christ and bear fruit, he must bear the cross. And for you to be a Christian, you must do the same. But is that easy? It's never easy. It's really never easy to sacrifice your own desire to follow the desires of God and love other people. So should we try to get out of it? No. Jesus says, verse 27, now my soul has become troubled, terasso, stirred up like the waters of the pool at Bethesda in John 5. It's the same word. Remember, they would wait for someone to come and stir up those waters? Jesus is describing the inner stress, the inner strain, the inner turmoil that he's feeling as he faces the cross. How many of you have ever had it where you're about to go through something, you know you're going to have to go through it, but it is not going to be pleasant? Ever had that? Oh, yeah. And you don't feel good inside. Well, should you give in to your feelings? Jesus was about to be betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, delivered over to soldiers, taken before the authorities, tried repeatedly, falsely accused, rejected, condemned, abandoned by his disciples, beaten, stripped, humiliated, nailed to a cross, and lifted up to die. No wonder his soul was stirred up inside. All of that was ahead of him in the next few days. But should he give in to that and not go forward? Should he love his own soul? No. No, he should ignore his own soul. That's what he says. My soul is all stirred up inside, but what should I do? What should I say? Father, save me so that I don't have to go through this pain and suffering? No. What is this? This is the pain of the cross, both Christ's and yours. This is the pain of denying self in order to do the will of God. And if you think about it, all the commandments of Christ to us are difficult. All of them. Are we commanded to evangelize? Yes. Is that easy? No, you have to deny self to evangelize. And we were in the good night area yesterday, and good night. That is a tough area. I never saw so many keep out, beware of dog, not welcome, literally not welcome mat, and go away. One lady looked at me and she just, man, the evil eye, and she went. I mean, she didn't know who I was. She just saw that we were going door to door. Oh, you know, it's not easy to even try to talk to somebody about Christ because you know pretty much what the reaction is going to be. It's not easy to evangelize. Is it easy to disciple people who are saved? No, you're going to be opening the Bible with somebody week after week after week and bringing the truth to bear in their lives. That's not easy to do. Is it easy to preach? Do you think it's easy to preach? How many of you have preached? Raise your hands, fellow preachers. Now, put them down. Raise your hand if you found that really easy. Okay, I don't see any hands. It's not easy to preach. Every Sunday is gut-wrenching to a degree. Every week preparation is gut-wrenching to a degree. Not easy to teach, fellow Bible teachers. I know it's not easy to do what you do. Not easy to counsel people, to confront others in sin. None of this is easy. And yet all of these things are commanded by Jesus Christ. And it's not uncommon, as you seek to love others, even if it's just to show up at church when there's tension between you and somebody else, it's not easy. Your soul can become troubled. What is that? The pain of the cross. That's what that is. It's the pain that we bear. It's the suffering that we endure for the sake of others and for the sake of Jesus Christ. It wasn't easy for Jesus to be the Christ, and it isn't easy for you to be a Christian. And yet, that's love. By this we know love. Here's how we know agape love. That he laid down his life for us, and we must also lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. Not easy. So why would we do that? A better question, for what would we do that? Why would we do it? Well, because Christ commands it. Because we're followers of Jesus Christ. Because he saved us. But for what purpose would we do that? Notice, second, the purpose of the cross. The cross has a purpose. Ultimately, that purpose is always the glory of God. Verse 27, now my soul has become troubled, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, implied, of course not, but for this purpose I came to this hour. So instead, Jesus prays, Father, glorify thy name. That's the purpose of the cross, the glory of God. That's why Jesus went forward despite how he felt. That's why Jesus endured the betrayal and the departure and the suffering and the beating and the nails and the thorns and the literally hanging on the cross and bleeding out. Jesus Christ endured all of that, yes, for your sakes, but ultimately he did it so that God the Father would be glorified in the death of his Son. And think about all the attributes of God that are on display at the cross, because glory is the sum of all that makes God worthy of worship and praise. So at the cross, you see the summation of all the glorious attributes of God. You see his compassion, his grace, his love, his faithfulness, his long-suffering, his righteousness, his justice, his holiness, his wrath. All the attributes of God are on display at the cross of Christ. Guess what? Those same attributes of God are on display when you will lay down your life for somebody else. When you will go and hand out tracts in an area where it's not easy. When you will meet with someone for discipleship week after week and keep bringing the truth to bear on their lives. When you will counsel somebody. When you will confront someone in love. When you will come to church, even if it's difficult to do so. When you serve in any and every way, you are glorifying God the Father. Remember what Jesus said in John 15? He said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Right? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That's John 15:8. Well, how do you bear fruit? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The only way that you can bear fruit for God is if you're willing to die. And what does that mean? Well, if you're willing to die to you, if you're willing to die to self, if you're willing to say no to all of your desires and say yes to the desires of God. Now, God is not a killjoy. This, again, I try to correct. It doesn't mean you can't go on vacation. But I want to go on vacation. It doesn't mean you can't go on vacation. But if while you're on vacation, there's an opportunity for the gospel, you might have to sacrifice some vacation time or some pleasantness on vacation to preach the gospel. What if you're on vacation and the kids act out? Going to have to correct them in love. What if you're on vacation and you're, I don't know, then there's trouble. And you need to follow Christ wherever you are. And that is not always easy. You know, I know a young couple in this church. Well, they're my age. Young-ish couple. I know a youngish couple who recently went to a funeral for a family member. And it was going to be a very difficult weekend with unbelieving family. How many of you have ever faced a difficult weekend with unbelieving family? Look at all those hands. That's a lot of people. Well, that's not easy to do. It's, you could say, and now my soul has become troubled. I mean, it's Thanksgiving, but now your soul is troubled because you're going to go into a situation that's going to be tense and difficult. It's not always easy to be with unbelieving family members, to talk to them about Christ, or even to maintain your Christian testimony when you're there with them. So my friends were facing this. And you know, when you're doing that, there can be this temptation to look for some way of escape. Like, I think I've got a sniffle. Or, I think I have a cough. I probably shouldn't even go. There really is a temptation to look for some way out of doing what you know you ought to do. What's the example and teaching of Christ? Don't give in to that. Say no to that. Don't give in to the turmoil of your soul. Suffer and pray and go forward in faith. And listen, God will glorify his name. He will. One way or another, sooner or later, God is going to glorify his name every time you bear the cross. Jesus prayed, Father, glorify thy name. And the Father answered, verse 28, then a voice came out of heaven, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. In other words, the Father had already glorified his name through the day-by-day-by-day sacrificing of Jesus Christ for the sake of others. Jesus was living his entire life day-by-day for the sake of those around him. Some of that was confronting people in love and saying, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Jesus was doing that in love, that they might turn and be saved. The Father had already glorified his name, and he says, and I will glorify it, which God was about to do once again at the cross. What is this? It's the purpose of the cross. The pain of it is to endure the suffering that you go through in obedience to Jesus Christ. But the purpose of it ultimately is the glory of God. That's not the only purpose, by the way. When you lay down your life for other people, it's for their good. That's one of the purposes, for their good. It's also for your good. It actually does you good to go in the way of the cross, which I'll talk about more in a second. But ultimately, it's so that the glory of God, the grace, compassion, mercy, love, and patience of God would be put on visible display for the world to see. Now, there are two themes here which seem like strange bedfellows. On the one hand, there's glory, and on the other hand, there's death. How do you put those two things together? Let's talk about the paradox and the power of the cross. The paradox and the power of the cross, both Christ's and yours. And the truth here is simply that the cross, death, is the way to glory and to victory. Even though it seems like it's the way to pain and suffering and defeat. No, it is the way to glory and to victory. Look at verse 29. The crowd of people who stood by and heard this voice were saying that it had thundered. Obviously, the voice was loud and they all heard it. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice has come not for my sake, but for yours. Now, clearly, everyone there heard the voice. It was like thunder. Some apparently did not understand the words. Others, like John the Apostle, who is writing this as a witness, an eyewitness, they heard the words and understood them. But really, it wasn't the words that were for their sake. Jesus says, this voice was for your sake. How so? It got their attention. And now Jesus is about to tell them one of the most important but difficult truths about the cross. Verse 31. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And now implied, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Verse 31 is a very interesting and very difficult to translate verse. It can be taken in one of two ways, at least two, and both of them are exactly true. One way it can be taken, the way it reads in the original, is this. Now is this world's judgment, as in, now is the verdict of this world against Christ. That's how it reads. Now is this world's judgment. Now is this ruler of the world to be cast out, and there is a ruler of the world in context here, Jesus Christ. And he's about to be cast out. And interestingly, ruler is used both of Jesus and Satan in the New Testament. Matthew 2:6, it's used of Jesus. It's also used of Satan. And cast out is used of Satan and Jesus. When Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth in Luke 4, he was cast out of the city as though he were evil. And this could be read this way. Now is this world's judgment of Christ, and it's a negative judgment. Now is this ruler, Jesus, this ruler of this world, to be cast out. And then it says, and if I myself am lifted out, same word, if I am lifted out from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. And those of you who saw me Tuesday, Pastor Dan and Frank and Rick Deppe and my wife and a few others, if I had to preach this on Tuesday, I would have just given you that as the interpretation. It fits the grammar, it fits the context, and it's absolutely true. But you probably know there's another way to take this, isn't there? Now is judgment of this world, not the world's judgment of God, but God's judgment of the world. Now is the ruler of this world to be cast out, or now will the ruler of this world be cast out, not Jesus, but Satan. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Well, both fit the grammar, both fit the larger context, and both are absolutely true. So which is it? Well, you know what? It's not only, Nate, it's not only doxological, it's paradoxical. And I think it's purposefully so. You know, I think it's purposefully ambiguous, like, you know, I saw a man with a telescope. What does that mean? Could mean I saw a man who had a telescope, or I saw a man through a telescope. I saw a man with a telescope is ambiguous. This verse, I think, is purposefully ambiguous. However, I will give you what I think is the better one. I think Jesus is saying this. Now, meaning as a result of the cross, judgment is upon this world because of the world's judgment of Jesus Christ. Now, judgment, that is, as in the judgment of God, hangs over this world like a black cloud. The wrath of God is ready to be poured out, and it soon will be. Judgment is upon this world because this world has rejected Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the only Savior for sinners. Is that true? Absolutely. Paul begins his gospel with that truth in Romans 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven right now against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who have suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. So that is true. That right now, the wrath of God hangs over this world, and those who do not believe in Jesus Christ are living under the wrath of God. And then Jesus says, now, as in now as a result of the cross, the ruler of this world, Satan, will be cast out. And that's true also. Future tense, he doesn't say exactly when. Read Revelation, the details are given when Satan is finally cast out of the world. He's not saying immediately you're going to be in a Satan-free world, and we don't live in a Satan-free world today. But Jesus is speaking here about the cross. Now, thanks to the cross, the accuser of the brethren will be cast out. And of course, we know that's true. 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. But then he says, and now implied, thanks to the cross, if I am lifted up from the earth, some say that's a reference to the crucifixion, if I am lifted up on a stake from the earth. Some say it's a reference to his ascension, if I am lifted up from the earth into the clouds. Well, let's just combine them because both are true. And now if I am lifted up on the cross, die, rise again, and ascend back into heaven, I will draw all men to myself. Not all men without exception, but all men without distinction. I will draw all kinds of men to myself, young and old, Jews and Greeks, rich and poor, slave and free, male and female. I will draw all kinds of sinners to myself out from under the judgment that hangs over this world and out from under the influence of Satan. Is that true? It is true. And therefore, what does that tell you about the cross? The cross is the way to victory. The cross is the way to the salvation of souls. The cross is the way to the glory of God. And it was true of Christ, and it's true of you. Now, not in the same way for us, right? When we die to self, we aren't dying for the sins of the world, but we are dying to self for the sake of sinners. The cross, which is the way of death, is actually the way of life. And the cross, which appears to be defeat, is in fact victory. And the cross, laying down your life in love for the sake of others, is to the glory of God. The cross is the way to the crown, and to bear the cross is the only way to bear much fruit. True of Jesus Christ, and true of you as well. What is that? It's the paradox and power of the cross. And it's to encourage you to follow Jesus Christ in the same way. That is to bear your cross day by day. And I'm thankful for that verse, Levi, because the one that you read out of Luke 9 is where it says daily. And the one that you read out of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says daily. And it's a daily thing. You may have to die to self later today to help somebody out. You may, die to self later today to help somebody out. You may have to die to self tomorrow. You know, I thought, hey, we like having table talk, but they're going to be working up in fellowship hall. Let's let them work. Let's free up others to work. Maybe I'll come in jeans and a t-shirt tomorrow. We'll see. Not promising. And I'm a gopher help, so it's unskilled labor. Rick, where are you back there? If you want some unskilled labor, I'm good at that. But dying to self is a daily thing. What Jesus Christ is showing us here is that is the way to glorify God. That is the way to life. And even that is the way to bearing fruit. Want to bear fruit in your life? Die to self. Die to self. Which only leaves with this question. What will you do with this? What I hope that you'll do is you'll reflect on where you're at right now in life. You know, what does your life look like right now? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Would somebody be able to look at your life and say, I am so thankful that you are laying down your life for the sake of others, despite what it costs you? If so, rejoice, that is God's work in you. That is not natural. If instead your life is more the deeds of the flesh, pride, sin, selfishness, wickedness, love of self, that is idolatry. We had that in Sunday school class this morning. That is idolatry. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness, stiff-neckedness, is as the sin of idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:23. There's only one way out of that, one way. It's to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And the wisest thing you could do right now is repent, if that's you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, and your justice. And we pray, Father, give us wisdom and discernment to follow you this day and day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.